Chapter 158. You give me no great encouragement to conclude what I have to say, apostrophe observed Mr. Pickwick, but I had better do so at once. This young person is not only attached to your son, Mr. Weller, but your son is attached to her. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, this here's a pretty sort of thing to come to a father's ears, this is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have observed them on several occasions, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, making no comment on Mr. Weller's last remark, and entertain no doubt at all about it. Supposing I were desirous of establishing them comfortably as man and wife in some little business or situation, where they might hope to obtain a decent living, what should you think of it, Mr. Weller? Apostrophe, apostrophe, at first, Mr. Weller received with wry faces a proposition involving the marriage of anybody in whom he took an interest. But, as Mr. Pickwick argued the point with him, and laid great stress on the fact that Mary was not a widow, he gradually became more tractable. Mr. Pickwick had great influence over him, and he had been much struck with Mary's appearance, having, in fact, bestowed several very unfatherly winks upon her, already. At length he said that it was not for him to oppose Mr. Pickwick's inclination, and that he would be very happy to yield to his advice, upon which, Mr. Pickwick joyfully took him at his word, and called Sam back into the room. Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, clearing his throat, your father and I have been having some conversation about you. Apostrophe, about you, Samuel, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, in a patronizing and impressive voice. I am not so blind, Sam, as not to have seen, a long time since, that you entertain something more than a friendly feeling towards Mrs. Winkle's maid, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. You hear this, Samuel? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, in the same judicial form of speech as before. I hope, sir, apostrophe said Sam, addressing his master, I hope there's no harm in a young man taking notice of a young woman as is undeniably good-looking and well-conducted. Apostrophe, certainly not, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Not by no means, apostrophe acquiesced Mr. Weller, affably but magisterially. So far from thinking there is anything wrong in conduct so natural, apostrophe resumed Mr. Pickwick, it is my wish to assist and promote your wishes in this respect. With this view, I have had a little conversation with your father, and finding that he is of my opinion, apostrophe, the lady not being a widow, apostrophe interposed Mr. Weller in explanation. The lady not being a widow, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, smiling. I wish to free you from the restraint which your present position imposes upon you, and to mark my sense of your fidelity and many excellent qualities, by enabling you to marry this girl at once, and to earn an independent livelihood for yourself and family. I shall be proud, Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, whose voice had faltered a little hitherto, but now resumed its customary tone. Proud and happy to make your future prospects in life my grateful and peculiar care. Apostrophe, there was a profound silence for a short time, and then Sam said, in a low, husky sort of voice, but firmly withal, I'm very much obliged to you for your goodness, sir, as is only like yourself. But it can't be done. Apostrophe, can't be done. Apostrophe, apostrophe ejaculated Mr. Pickwick in astonishment. Samuel. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Weller, with dignity. I say it can't be done, apostrophe repeated Sam in a louder key. What's to become of you, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my good fellow, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, the recent changes among my friends will alter my mode of life in future, entirely. Besides, I am growing older, and want repose and quiet. My rambles, Sam, are over. Apostrophe, how do I know that ear, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, argued Sam. You think so now? Suppose you was to change your mind, which is not unlikely, for you've the spirit o' 25 and 20 in you still, what'd become on you without me? It can't be done, sir, it can't be done. Apostrophe, worry good, Samuel, there's a good deal in that, apostrophe said Mr. Weller encouragingly. I speak after long deliberation, Sam, and with the certainty that I shall keep my word, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, shaking his head. New scenes have closed upon me, my rambles are at an end. Apostrophe, worry good, apostrophe rejoined Sam. Then, that's the worry best reason why you should always have somebody by you as understands you, to keep you up, and make you comfortable. If you want a more polished sort o' feller, well and good, have him, but wages, notice or no notice, board or no board, lodging or no lodging, Sam Veller, as you took from the old inn in the borough, sticks by you, come what may, and let everything and everybody do their worry fiercest, nothing shall ever prevent it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, at the close of this declaration, which Sam made with great emotion, the elder Mr. Weller rose from his chair, and, forgetting all considerations of time, place, or propriety, waved his hat above his head, and gave three vehement cheers. My good fellow, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, when Mr. Weller had sat down again, rather abashed at his own enthusiasm, you are bound to consider the young woman also. Apostrophe, I do consider the young woman, sir, apostrophe said Sam. I have considered the young woman. I've spoke to her. I've told her how I'm situated. She's ready to wait till I'm ready, and I believe she will. If she don't, she's not the young woman I take her for, and I give her up with readiness. You've knowed me afore, sir. My mind's made up, and nothing can ever alter it. Apostrophe, who could combat this resolution? Not Mr. Pickwick. He derived, at that moment, more pride and luxury of feeling from the disinterested attachment of his humble friends than 10,000 protestations from the greatest men living could have awakened in his heart. While this conversation was passing in Mr. Pickwick's room, a little old gentleman in a suit of snuff-colored clothes, followed by a porter carrying a small portmanteau, presented himself below, and, after securing a bed for the night, inquired of the waiter whether one Mrs. Winkle was staying there, to which question the waiter of course responded in the affirmative. Is she alone? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the old gentleman. I believe she is, sir, apostrophe replied the waiter. I can call her own maid, sir, if you apostrophe, no, I don't want her, apostrophe said the old gentleman quickly. Show me to her room without announcing me. Apostrophe, eh, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the waiter. Are you deaf? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired the little old gentleman. No, sir. Apostrophe, then listen, if you please. Can you hear me now? Apostrophe, yes, sir. Apostrophe, that's well. Show me to Mrs. Winkle's room, without announcing me. Apostrophe, as the little old gentleman uttered this command, he slipped 5 shillings into the waiter's hand, and looked steadily at him. Really, sir, apostrophe said the waiter, I don't know, sir, whether apostrophe, You will do it, I see, apostrophe said the little old gentleman. You had better do it at once. It will save time. Apostrophe, there was something so very cool and collected in the gentleman's manner that the waiter put the 5 shillings in his pocket and led him upstairs without another word. This is the room, is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the gentleman. You may go. Apostrophe, the waiter complied. Wondering much who the gentleman could be, and what he wanted, the little old gentleman, waiting till he was out of sight, tapped at the door. Come in, apostrophe said Arabella. A pretty voice, at any rate, apostrophe murmured the little old gentleman. But that's nothing. Apostrophe as he said this, he opened the door and walked in. Arabella, who was sitting at work, rose on beholding a stranger a little confused, but by no means ungracefully so. Pray don't rise, ma'am, apostrophe said the unknown, walking in, and closing the door after him. Apostrophe Mrs. Winkle, I believe? Apostrophe Arabella inclined her head. apostrophe Mrs. Nathaniel Winkle, who married the son of the old man at Birmingham. Apostrophe apostrophe said the stranger, eyeing Arabella with visible curiosity. Again Arabella inclined her head, and looked uneasily round, as if uncertain whether to call for assistance. I surprise you, I see, ma'am, apostrophe said the old gentleman. Rather, I confess, apostrophe replied Arabella, wondering more and more. I'll take a chair, if you'll allow me, ma'am, apostrophe said the stranger. He took one, and drawing a spectacle case from his pocket, leisurely pulled out a pair of spectacles, which he adjusted on his nose. You don't know me, ma'am? Apostrophe apostrophe he said, looking so intently at Arabella that she began to feel alarmed. No, sir, apostrophe she replied timidly. No, apostrophe said the gentleman, nursing his left leg. I don't know how you should. You know my name, though, ma'am. Apostrophe, do I? Apostrophe apostrophe said Arabella, trembling, though she scarcely knew why. May I ask what it is? Apostrophe, presently, ma'am, presently, apostrophe said the stranger, not having yet removed his eyes from her countenance. You have been recently married, ma'am? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have, apostrophe replied Arabella, in a scarcely audible tone, laying aside her work, and becoming greatly agitated as a thought that had occurred to her before struck more forcibly upon her mind. Without having represented to your husband the propriety of first consulting his father, on whom he is dependent, I think? Apostrophe apostrophe said the stranger. Arabella applied her handkerchief to her eyes. Without an endeavor, even, to ascertain, by some indirect appeal, what were the old man's sentiments on a point in which he would naturally feel much interested. Apostrophe apostrophe said the stranger. I cannot deny it, sir, apostrophe said Arabella. And without having sufficient property of your own to afford your husband any permanent assistance in exchange for the worldly advantages which you knew he would have gained if he had married agreeably to his father's wishes? Apostrophe apostrophe said the old gentleman. This is what boys and girls call disinterested affection. Till they have boys and girls of their own, and then they see it in a rougher and very different light. Apostrophe apostrophe, Arabella's tears flowed fast, as she pleaded in extenuation that she was young and inexperienced, that her attachment had alone induced her to take the step to which she had resorted, and that she had been deprived of the counsel and guidance of her parents almost from infancy. It was wrong, apostrophe said the old gentleman in a milder tone, very wrong. It was romantic, unbusinesslike, foolish. Apostrophe, it was my fault, all my fault, sir, apostrophe replied poor Arabella, weeping. Nonsense, apostrophe said the old gentleman. It was not your fault that he fell in love with you, I suppose? Yes it was, though, apostrophe said the old gentleman, looking rather slyly at Arabella. It was your fault. He couldn't help it. Apostrophe, this little compliment, or the little gentleman's odd way of paying it, or his altered manner, so much kinder than it was, at first or all three together, forced a smile from Arabella in the midst of her tears. Where's your husband? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired the old gentleman, abruptly, stopping a smile which was just coming over his own face. I expect him every instant, sir, apostrophe said Arabella. I persuaded him to take a walk this morning. He is very low, and wretched at not having heard from his father. Apostrophe, low, is he? Apostrophe apostrophe said the old gentleman. Serve him right. Apostrophe, he feels it on my account, I am afraid, apostrophe said Arabella. And indeed, sir, I feel it deeply on his. I have been the sole means of bringing him to his present condition. Apostrophe, don't mind it on his account, my dear, apostrophe said the old gentleman. It serves him right. I am glad of it, actually glad of it, as far as he is concerned. apostrophe, the words were scarcely out of the old gentleman's lips, when footsteps were heard ascending the stairs, which he and Arabella seemed both to recognize at the same moment. The little gentleman turned pale, and, making a strong effort to appear composed, stood up, as Mr. Winkle entered the room. "Father!" apostrophe apostrophe cried Mr. Winkle, recoiling in amazement. "Yes, sir," apostrophe replied the little old gentleman. "Well, sir, what have you got to say to me?" Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Winkle remained silent. "You are ashamed of yourself, I hope, sir?" apostrophe apostrophe said the old gentleman. Still Mr. Winkle said nothing. "Are you ashamed of yourself, sir, or are you not?" apostrophe apostrophe inquired the old gentleman. "No, sir," apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle, drawing Arabella's arm through his. "I am not ashamed of myself, or of my wife either." Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.